Dang, dang. You know, it's amazing how God is still doing what he's doing. I'm going to piggyback off what Pastor Jerry was saying. So y'all might well get used to this type of service. Because the things that God is doing is just so phenomenal. It's just crazy. When you have an open spiritual eye to really see what God is really doing. Not just by mouth, but by really seeing every step by step in the spirit what God is doing. I totally agree, man. I'm telling you, everybody, Kristen, Pastor Ross, everybody was all in the message today. Because it's all centered around his love. So even on yesterday, I thought about Pastor Jerry, and I was sitting there looking at her. And on Saturday, it came back to my remembrance when we was in a prayer. She was talking about how her grandmother prayed for her and said not to love this world. Do not love the world. You was at a young age.
Mm-hmm. Adolescent.
But it took root.
Yeah.
Her grandmother called upon heaven, a spiritual place, was not on earth at the time, but she pulled on heaven and deposited something from the birthplace where she came from that he said, this is my seed that I'm going to put inside of you. To take my destiny in the earth. See, when he said, let the kingdom come, the kingdom came through you. It was a spiritual concept that took place way back then. We didn't even have, most of us didn't even know Pastor Jerry. But heaven was being manifested on the earth. So then I said, okay, God, so then she said, In the prayer, she said, now, I recognize that I never, ever had a thought of throwing in the towel. I done threw in the towel 3 or 4 times. But this is the thing. But God was saying, look at the example that I put before you to give you instructions how to hold on faithfully. When your walls is crumbling down, it's just like Crystalline was saying, when everything seems chaotic, it has to be a foundation from a heavenly place inside of you to give you some hope of glory, to give you manifestation that you stand on a firm foundation and you can cry, you can bend, you might even buckle at the knees, but something on the inside, Pastor call it the ding-a-ling-ling-ling-ling-ling. When that thing begins to take inside of you, then you begin to understand a purpose. You don't understand all of it, but you feel something. You don't understand it because you're unsure. Because all your life you lived on the earth.
Come on now.
We keep looking for earthly things when heaven said, I'm trying to bring the kingdom down inside of you to put it in the earth. So my kingdom come and my will be done. Pastor Jerry. On yesterday was a great export of the feast. I'm sitting there and I'm watching people come in and out. And I'm looking at people mingle. And I watched Pastor Jerry sitting at her table and they just are laughing and having a good time. And then I looked at the other table that were laughing, having a good time. I looked at the other table that were laughing, having a good time. And the Spirit said to me just as clear as day, it said, you in heaven now.
Come on now.
Listen, listen, listen. It says to me, at this moment, nobody have a care. You did not think about what bill is due. You didn't think about what sickness or ailment she didn't have that L on. Why? Because at that moment, he said, you are in heaven. You are on the third floor. You are above the earth. That's why the whole thing was set on the third floor. Then I talked to Pastor Voss, and she was talking about the same thing. But there's something that's going to happen before it even took place. She was in the hallway. She said, there's something about this third floor that we're going to go up. Where did she get that from? Heaven began to understand. I began to understand. I said, okay, God. So he said, wait a minute. We came down. We came down from heaven. He said, now look at this. It's a choice that I'm trying to get you to stay here. Remember all the time, I'm glad that, you know, families in here. I'm so glad the pastor kept preaching and talking about from heaven that we need to be elevated. We need to go up. We need to go up. We need to go up. Listen, you was invited to an upper room experience yesterday. You was not there to eat that natural food. When BJ gave that word about going up in that tall thing in Seattle, I saw all of that last night. We was up there when he spoke about it weeks ago before we even got to the hotel. We was in the upper place eating spiritual food. My mind could not concept or understand to compute everything that was happening. But he said, come to my feast. When Kristen read her words over Pastor, the whole atmosphere changed in that room. You know why? Because it came from heaven. It was a difference. Everything was good and it was a blessed. It was blessed. But something about when somebody from PWM, I'm just going to be honest, get up and spoke a word from heaven. See, it wasn't related to her as an individual. It was related to her from a heavenly perspective. It was from a heavenly seat. And you were sitting in a heavenly place, and she recognized greatness from heaven. Not only that, then I began to understand something. I said, okay, God, so what else is going on? He said, just wait a minute, because you're going to see way further than you see right now. I'm going to teach you something about love. All morning we've been talking about love. Every song was talking about love, right? That was a feast. Deep, pull up John 12 for me. There was a feast that was going on. After Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, they ate and they had a good time, and the Pharisees and everybody came. But something took place. It said on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went forth and met him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, he sat thereon. As it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, the King cometh, sitting on an ass. Colt. You know what's so powerful about that? Even on last night, you think about most of us, when we celebrate something, it's about us. Pastor Jerry kept saying, it's not about me. She never really wanted to take recognition for herself about this event, but she understood there was something greater than her. When Jesus came, he could have came on a a big horse. He could have came on a thoroughbred. He could have came on anything, but he chose to come on a donkey. We have to recognize what's in us. When the death of resurrection is in us, we'll choose the greatest thing. Jesus came on the donkey because he came forth on the donkey because of peace. He was bringing peace to a bad situation. Pastor Jerry was bringing peace to a lot of situations through Jesus Christ. That's why the gathering. We got to learn how to choose to come on a lower level so that way Jesus can get glorified, because it ain't about you. See, as she would have came on with the crown around her head and the long gown and all of this stuff and said, look and see, look and see, look at me. If it's all about me, see, then you will miss the mark of heaven being on earth. But because she said, it's not about me, it's not about me, it's about my God. So now she could be able to come like her father came on a donkey and said, no, I'm going to come low, but I'm going to come with peace. I'm going to bring you peace to your troubled situation. That's what Crystalline was saying when she was up here. She was talking about that I don't have to worry about my circumstances. I don't have to worry about my problems. Even though that they are still there, I can look to the hills, which come my strength, because now I have been uplifted off the earth. I don't have to deal with problems down here. You can't change your problems anyway, people.
No.
We've been trying to fix our stuff for many, many moons, and it's still not fixed. But heaven said, come up to the third floor. Come to the third floor. Come to the upper room where the feast may be. Eat from my table that will be everlasting. Then she said something. She said some crazy stuff on that meeting. Then she talked about, then Pastor Jared talked about the door.
The doors.
I'm going to get to the door. I'm going to start with one door. But we're going to get to the doors. But we're going to start at the door. Because man, when she was up there, I'm telling you, I'm seeing this thing. I was watching this stuff manifest. I'm like, okay. So look, she said, you come through the door and you enter into the room and you stop right here. I'm in the room, but I'm not in the room. I'm going to stand here at the door. So then the scripture came to me about salvation in Romans 10, 9 and 10, where it's talked about, and if you confess your faults and Jesus with, you make him Lord, confess that he's Lord and Savior, right? He said, now, many of us always looking at God to be our Savior. Save me, Lord. Hold on for a second. This is what I saw. Hello? Yes. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. He passed away? Okay. Okay. Oh, my God. So now I got to get on social media and tell everybody that I got to call all the prayer warriors to pray. Because somebody, I just got a call at the door. Now, somebody just called me and told me that one of my brothers just passed away. So now, because he's my Savior, I need saving. So now, he's going to be for my benefit. So now, I'm reaching out to everybody to tell you to join in on my bandwagon to seek God for some deliverance or healing or whatever, to come to our family or whatever the situation is. God help us. God help us. Can you pray with us? Pray for the family. But there's no making him Lord. So all the time before that phone call, I went to the club. I did what I want to do. I went to work. I might talk about God if I want to. And I did everything I want to do. I'm busy. Oh, the church just want too much of time. I ain't got time for that. I got to go to this play. I got to go eat here. I got to do that. I got to get my hair fixed. And the reason I'm saying all of this, because I want you to understand the trap the devil is trying to play on us. We stand here and we don't allow him to be Lord. So when you begin to let him be Lord, he owns you. See, it's not a program. When something happens, I need a prayer warrior to pray. I can begin to pray myself. I'm going to ask Amanda to come up and pray for Pastor Jerry right now. Because she has a gift of healing. And see, there's something that I understand that this is all I saw all of this yesterday when she was talking about the room. I didn't even know she was going to come, but I knew that she needed to pray for Pastor Jerry.
Dear Lord, we come here today, Lord God, asking for healing over Pastor Jerry's life, Lord God. I pray that you heal her from her head to her toes, Lord Jesus. I pray that you give her a new set of air. Lord God, just new, fresh air that she can breathe, Lord God, without the machine, Lord Jesus. I pray that you just give her grace, Lord God, and I pray that you just work something inside of her. Take the fear, the doubt, the disappointment, the not understanding. Mm. Take it all away, Lord God. Yes. Take it all away that she can be free.
Yes.
Free. And accepting of your healing, Lord Jesus. Even though we may not see it on the outside, Lord God, but you're doing something on the inside. Mm-hmm. And I just thank you, Lord God. Thank you for her life, Lord Jesus. Thank you for giving her the transparency, Lord God, to change our lives as she ministers each and every time, Lord God, to us. And even to her family, Lord Jesus. I pray that there's a breakthrough, Lord God. Mm-hmm. I pray that the chains are breaking, Lord God. Mm-hmm. I pray that you just set new boundaries, new love, new understanding, Lord God. And I just pray that you just give a new light. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo. Oh
God. Thank you, amen. It's not over. See, that came from heaven. When you walk into the room, the song says this morning, when you walk into the room, see, once you begin to walk in the room, there's something else begin to happen. Something else begins to happen. So look, when you enter to the room, you begin to move around. You begin to understand more things that's in the room. You understand the chair. You understand the stage, the keyboard. You get to use and have access to things. So then God was showing me, he said, now I want you to have the authority from the upper room. He said, now I want you to take authority. Now, don't even just, and I saw this thing for a lot of us in here, that even sickness, because we've been passive on how we've been praying to God about deliverance, and people been going through some things this week and been struggling and being attacked, and we just been, okay, God. But he said, no, I done gave you authority from the upper room to take authority. He said, no more pulling, but I want you to yank it and pull it. What is already done, he wants us to yank and pull it from heaven. So I cast down every imagination by the authority of heaven that no weapon formed in the bodies of your people, God, shall prosper anymore. I speak life to everything that the enemy called death. Now I speak prosperity in the spirit that they will have wings to fly above every situation, that they will begin to know you for who you are by your grace. You go into the room, she had a room, the bedroom. There's another door that she called the bedroom where intimacy's part took place. When I was at work, somebody came to me and said, you know, I heard this person say, you don't need love anymore. I don't want love. I want loyalty. I said, think about it. Think about it. If I'm loyal to you, I ain't going to do nothing to harm you. I'm going to always be there with you through thick and thin. But when you think about that love, see, love hurts. And people that love you always hurt you. Then they told me that when love hurts, they said you can be in love with somebody. And you ever seen or heard a situation where somebody said, well, because I can't have you, I'm going to kill both of us? Because I love you. I had a cousin 2 weeks ago did the very thing. But he put his kids and his wife into the room. And he said that he was going to shoot all of them. But then he decided just to shoot himself in front of the kids because he said he loved them. So this individual was talking about loyalty is more, because you won't do that to somebody that you're loyal to. And the people that was in this conversation was like, yeah, that's what I want. I want loyalty. That's what I want. And that grieved my heart, because the people that were saying this supposed to have been born again Christians. I said, how can you give up God's love and settle for human loyalty? Listen, it's underskirted by the fact that they're using it, because loyalty really is just faithfulness. Look, give me Corinthians 13, please. We really miss out the fact that what love really does. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love do things that nothing else in the world can. When you get the right direction from heaven, the right love from heaven, from a kingdom perspective, it manifests something else in your life. So God said, look, love is patient. His love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. Love never fails. From a heavenly perspective, once we get centered into heaven, there's no way you can fail in anything else you do. We can't get tricked by the things on the earth. When Christians say that we got to come down, when you come down, when you leave your job and you still got to take medicine and all of this stuff because of situations, it's because we want to come back down. When he showed me in heaven, when we was in heaven on the third floor yesterday, he said, now you done came down. I said, oh my God. God, why can't we just live here? Why can't we just live here? Why can't we grab hold to this thing? He said, I'm building something inside of you so you can handle this level. Let me be Lord in your life even more, that I can rest inside of you. Then you can understand what I want to take you. Even when Jesus had that, went to that feast, the disciples finally recognized what he was talking about when he began to ride on that donkey. Because he had talked about it prior. And that's the same thing, Pastor Jerry, that I saw with you, that when you were standing up there, I said, man, all the things that you done been through with Klee, and all the things that you done been through with your kids and didn't have, and the car situation. And I listened to all the testimonies and all the struggles that you went through. But then I said, my God, look at the price you had to pay to stand up here every Sunday and give us a word. Do you understand the gift that we have sitting in front of us? It's not about her birthday. It's about the Christ that's in her, which is the hope of glory that I could glean off her, because she done went to heaven many times, praying for us every night at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. She chose to get on a donkey to pray for us, to intercede for us. When you're sleeping and we're doing what we want to do, even our kids, we're doing what they want to do, but she's praying for us. Even if Pastor Jerry rubbed me the wrong way, which you haven't. That's okay, because I don't see her issue. I see the Christ in her. See, when you're upstairs, when you're in God's presence, you don't look at situations. You look at Christ. Whenever you get to a place that you're always looking at some other situation, you need to pray. Every time I see her, I see Christ. When she called me and she said, P. Mike, look, I'm dealing with this, or I think I messed up. That humbles me. That she would even come and say something to me that she's struggling with, or she did something wrong, or might, whatever the case might be. How do you do that? And I'm looking at her like, man, this awesome woman of God got all of this stuff inside of her. But then God said, you know what? The same thing in her could be in you. The elevation of heaven is so profound that God said, no, come up here. We need to stop settling for things on this earth. When we going to really catch it? Nothing here is going to satisfy your need. Everything we don't grasp, hold our hands on, has disappointed us. Everything. She had a hunger inside of her and Dean, when she came to PWM. She had a different hunger. I recall when you said, you were telling your pastor then, I don't know what it is. What do you want? What do you want? And you didn't even know what she wanted. But there was something on the inside. Only God could fulfill that void inside her life. But she searched high and low until she came on the backside of a mountain to a no-name pastor, no-name church, and two members, right? Three members. And didn't hear her family say, a match made in heaven.
Come on now. Almost 20
years. A match made in heaven. All the times I heard Pastor Jerry say, I'm not doing what my family want me to do, they go turn around and say, a match made in heaven. Dishonor, kick to the curb, bamboozled, all that stuff. Still, I see the Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why? Because she kept her hand to the plow with the tears. The disappointments and the ridicule. She kept her hand to the plow. She didn't give up. She didn't throw in the towel. She said, know what? I'm not going to carry a towel to throw in. Get rid of your towel and say, no, I'm going to put both hands on the plow and I'm going to hold on tight until my end time comes. Because guess what? On the third floor, there's no end times. Because everything with my God is eternal. You don't lose anything with him. Everything is always ongoing. Now, you might be over here still at the door, not coming all the way in the room. But see, that love that we just talked about had something. This thing here didn't have nothing to do with loyalty. When I saw this young man came in that meeting last night, when I saw him come in, he came because he loved you. You had to show him some love. It wasn't loyalty because we ain't known him that long enough to be loyal. But because of the love in Christ in you. I don't care how he got there or how who got there. They came because God had to touch their heart and tell them to come.
That's it.
That's love. You have to have some kind of different love in you to get somebody that don't want to be around you or whatever the case may be to get them to come to do something for you. It's because of the love in you, because of the Christ that's inside of your life. That's love. That's unconditional love. I don't have to make you do anything because you're going to do it automatically because who your daddy is and who my daddy is, that's going to be the love of heaven. Everything, every situation is going to be bedded on the fact that we got to go after God and get off the earth. Every day there's a feast. Every day. Every moment. We can eat of his table. You know how the feast begins? Let's make this simple. You know how the feast begins? From the 365 the pastor sends out.
That's it.
You know how the feast begins? Because, see, you get those during the weekday. Right? You get that during the weekday. See, that's manna from heaven that you don't even know is coming from heaven at the time. But, see, once you get something inside of you, and, see, on Monday might help you out for Friday. But see, when you don't read it, you don't have no substance to understand to get you on the third floor. Then you're going to stay here on the first floor, and then I'm going to fight you for what I see. You make me mad, I'm going to make you mad. But when I eat the manna, even when I read the word, when I get around you guys, when I'm not even here on Wednesday nights, see, somebody going to text me. Somebody going to say something to me. And I'm like, oh, my God, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Why? Because, see, I'm still hungry. Yeah, it's a connection. It's the fact that every day I want to have that hunger. See, it's that hunger. I don't want to be hungry. I want that hunger. That you don't even know how to feed it. You don't know how to satisfy it. But what you do, you search high and low until you find it. And you know you can't get it off the earth. No man, no woman, no children, no job, no money, no plane can fill that void in your life. So stop trying. We're going to get this thing. But you know why? Because God handpicked us. God handpicked us for this time. Even if you don't understand it, you'll get it. You know why? Because I know how faithful God is. I know who my daddy is. Because I mean, Pastor Jerry's one person, but I know what he did for me. I know my testimony. I know how he brought me to this point. I know that I had to go through some ups and downs. And I done threw in the towel a couple of times. But he still loved me enough that he reached down and snatched me out. I should not even be here right now. But he said, my love, son. That's love. Love is not self-seeking. Love keeps no record of wrongdoing. Love is not envious. Love is always hopeful. It's always kind. Where you find that in the earth? Could you please tell me where you find that in the earth? You can't, but on the third floor. Then you enter into the intimacy part that he deals with you on a constantly basis. Because you're loving on him and he's loving on you. He's dealing with your issues and you're loving that he's doing it. Could you imagine him getting a good whooping? You know what that is? A good whooping. A good beating. They thought camel soup was something when they're talking about good. When you're in the presence of God, I don't care what happens, it's so good. I think about Tozer, and I'm going to close on this. I think about Tozer said the same thing when he got ordained. When he got ordained and they had a service and they had a reception and after the fact, and he couldn't be in the room with the people. He had to go find him a solitude place to go pray. That day was set aside for him. But he knew that he wasn't worthy to even be recognized. So he said, I need to go be before my father and lay on the floor and pray while they eat and have a good time. Wow. That's what I heard you say yesterday. I said, God, I want some of that for real. Not by me just doing it, but I want there to be an internal thing that is be real, that nothing else matter but just your presence. Let's go to the third floor to the feast. God is calling us for such a time as this that he said he's going to pour out his spirit within us like never before. I really believe that healing and signs and wonders is going to manifest like crazy. Actually, it already done started. We just got, we don't even see it. Most of us, we don't even see it. Because we're looking for legs to grow out when he already done did something. He done got you here. That's a miracle by itself. But we don't see that. We don't see that. Yes.
Pastor Love said the Lord showed her the black sacks that was in my lungs. Well, I don't have to be on the oxygen as constantly as I used to be. And the other day I was walking down the hall, Pastor Love, and the Holy Spirit said, I done took one of those sacks.
Don't miss the moment. Did you just hear what just happened? See, that was a sign of wonder, and that was a miracle right there. See, we got to catch this stuff. Where's the hallelujahs, people? No. But we got to catch this stuff. God is doing something in our lives. Because he did that for her, he could do it for all of us. Snatch your healing now. When he told me that thing about that authority, I said, man, that thing hurt my heart. We said, hey, oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for that. Jesus said, I delight myself to go around laying hands on people. I love it. I don't care if you saved or not. I'm just going to lay hands on you. Just grow up. See. I said, God, help me with that because I'm missing that part. I recognize what I'm weak at. So fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up. So I got to keep reading. I got to keep praying. I got to keep being around Pastor. I got to keep being around Pastor Jerry. I got to keep being around you guys. Why? Because I need to be fed. I need to be filled up. I need some more hope. I need some more hope. God, I thank you now, God, for this opportunity. See, I thank you, God, for how you used Kristen this morning to share the words from heaven. That stuff came from the third floor. So you better grab it. Thank you, oh God, for the words that Pastor Roz and the worship team was singing, the songs, God. Because, see, Kristen didn't know that Pastor Roz was going to pick those songs during the week. See, it was all manifested in heaven. So it happened on the third floor. That stuff gets me excited. That builds my hope. That's why the last part of that scripture in Corinthians 13:13, it says faith, hope, and love, these three, the greatest is love. But see, you don't dismiss the other two. Love, birth, loyalty. I don't have to settle for one. I can have it all. Amen. Be ready in season.
So as I finished praying for you, I seen a cocoon. So, and I didn't understand. I knew the cocoon would eventually go into a butterfly, but I didn't understand the process, so I researched it. And pretty much it was showing, God was showing me that you were inside of the cocoon. And usually with the cocoon, they, it's really gross, but they eat themselves. But I didn't see that. I seen God taking over, remaking you, rebuilding you, resurrecting you into new. And as the season comes, your new season, this is what it's going to be. And out of the cocoon, you're going to be a beautiful, new, restored butterfly.
Thank you.
So.
See?
Yes. I don't blame Amanda for shying away from the eating yourself part, but actually that has to happen. You got to go away. You got to go away. And something brand new has got to come out. Amen. Amen. So if you don't eat, if that can't happen, if that doesn't happen, yeah, we got to get released from ourselves. The biggest freedom is freedom from self.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for each and every one that is here, Lord. We just thank you for all that has been done and said in this time, Lord, Father God. We thank you, Lord, Father God, for the prayers of the healing, Lord, Father God, of Pastor Jerry, but for all of us, Lord, Father God. Mm-hmm. We thank you for the healing. And we thank you, Lord, Father God, that we are all going to the upper room, Lord, Father God. Yes. And we thank you, Lord, Father God, that we would just go from the upper room, Lord, Father God, to just meet you in heaven, Lord, Father God. We thank you for this day. We thank you for each and everyone that is here, Lord, Father God. And ones that didn't make it, Lord, Father God, we just thank you, Lord, Father, and give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.